Welcome to this week's Sunday School lesson. Our lesson this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verses 13 through 21. I encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along in the scripture. The title of our lesson is Praying for Others in Christ. Why pray? If God's in control of all things and he knows every outcome before it even happens, why bother praying? Why pray about anything? Won't he just do it without me praying? Have you ever had those kind of thoughts? Does God really answer prayer? Does it really matter if we pray? Well, the Bible says yes, God does answer prayer, and it does matter if we pray. We have to recognize that God's word is true. God is omniscient, and that means he knows all. God is omnipotent, that means he has all power. And God is sovereign. That means he can do what he chooses. But if we believe all these attributes of God, we must also believe his other attributes that the Bible describes. One is that God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You'll find that in Titus chapter 1 verse 2. And then if you look in John chapter 14, verse 6, God is truth. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So God, who is truth and cannot lie, that's the same God that promised to hear and answer our prayers. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So how confident are you when you pray? Do you pray believing? And when you tell someone you're going to pray for them, how serious are you? Well, is it just a statement that Christians make? Well, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. But then, do you really pray for them? And if and when you pray for them, do you pray believing that God is going to hear and God's going to answer that prayer? Well, we also said God is sovereign. He can do what he chooses. But Almighty God limited himself to wait for us to call unto him before he does some things. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me. That's pray. That's how we pray. We call unto God. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We have to call on him first before he'll answer and before he'll show us. Well, God's attributes never change. However, God's direction can and does change based on prayer. A very familiar verse in the Bible, I hope you pray this often, we really need it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it starts off with that little two-letter word, if, I-F. If my people, he's talking to Christians, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But now remember, it started off with if. That little word, if, is a third-class condition, and it indicates that God limits himself not to do some things unless we pray. He says, if my people who are called by my name shall pray. If we do our part, then God says he'll hear and he'll answer prayer. In John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 16:23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And then the Bible tells us to pray without seeking, pray without ceasing. And in James 5:16, he tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are you righteous? Will God hear and answer every prayer? Well, the answer there is no. There are some reasons that God chooses not to hear and answer some prayers. I hear lost people talk about praying. John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. In other words, God does not hear unbelievers. The verse goes on to say, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So if you're out there lost, you've never been saved, you're an unbeliever this morning. And I see all the time on social media where people that hasn't darkened the doors of a church in years come out and say, oh, I'm praying for you. I'll pray for you. Well, God's not hearing that prayer. God's not hearing it. God does hear lost people's prayer, but he hears prayers of repentance for salvation. And God, he does even use lost people to accomplish his will. But the bottom line is, God is not their father. And he does not answer their prayers. And there are some prayers that Christians, believers, there are some prayers that we pray and God still doesn't answer prayer. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Here it is, that your prayers be not hindered. So if you're not honoring your wife, your prayers are being hindered. And it's going to be very hard for you to get a prayer through. In James 4:3, ye ask and receive not. Because, why? Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. You go to praying all about me, myself and I, and Lord, give me $1,000,000, give me a new car, give me this, give me that, give me. You're asking amiss. You're not asking God to answer your prayer in a way that would glorify him. We want to ask our prayers in a way that glorifies us, and then we wonder why we can't get a prayer through. And then in James 1:6-7, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're a Christian and you're wavering, you're out on the sea and just like a ship without a sail, just being tossed by the waves to and fro. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Bottom line, you're not serving him. You're not where you ought to be with him. Well, you may be a Christian, you may be on your way to heaven, but that doesn't mean you're getting your prayers answered. In Psalm 66:18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, my. You got sin in your life and you expect God to hear and answer your prayer? He will, but he'll answer that prayer and say, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for this iniquity. Forgive me for this sin. Cleanse me, Lord. Make me a clean heart, Lord. Yes, he'll hear that type of prayer. I know of people that may have not have darkened the church doors in ages. Well, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible teaches us that we're to be in church, in our local church, every time the doors are open for service. Now, if we're not there, then that means we're breaking that commandment that God gave us to be there. Now, if you're breaking those commandments and you won't even come to church, I'm not talking about people that's physically not able to come or hindered to come and providentially hindered to come. I'm talking about yes, you that can come and won't. You look for a good excuse not to come. God's not hearing your prayer. You're breaking his commandment. You have iniquity in your heart when you break his commandment. Then that's sin. And God doesn't hear your prayer. Even when God answers our prayer, sometimes it may not be the way we want him to answer. He may answer our prayer, but he may say, no. Well, that's an answered prayer. He may say, wait. He may say, yes. I'm reminded, I heard this many years ago, I'll never forget this. There was a preacher that was preaching. I think he was an evangelist, maybe. And he was in the pulpit preaching, and he gave a testimony. And in that testimony, he said that back when he was in high school, he had a crush on this pretty girl. Now, he was already called into the ministry, already called to preach. But he wanted to get married, and he wanted to marry that specific girl that he had a crush on. So he started praying, Lord, please let me have that girl. My high school sweetheart, please, Lord, let me have her for my wife. He prayed that prayer and he prayed it fervently. But he did not marry her. The Lord said, no. He goes on and marries a godly woman and that has stood by him all through the years in his ministry as he goes around the country preaching. And then one day he ran into his old high school sweetheart in his small hometown. He runs into her and she looked like she had aged about 20 or 30 years over her age. And he said, "Oh my, are you so-and-so?" She said, "Yes, I am." He said, "What happened to you?" She said, "Well, I just think you ought to know. Back when we were dating in high school, I was already addicted to drugs and you didn't know it. And I've been a drug addict all my life." The preacher said he went home, fell on his knees and started crying and weeping. And said, "Thank you, Lord, for saying no. Because if he had married her, she would have ruined his ministry. Thank you, Lord, for saying no." That was an answered prayer. He didn't know it at the time, but God gave him exactly what he needed. One thing's for certain, God's not going to answer a prayer if we never pray. We have not because we ask not. And yes, we do need to have a prayer life. I hope the only time you pray at home is not at the kitchen table. "Thank you, Lord, for this food. Amen." I hope you have more of a prayer life than that. I hope you have a prayer closet that you can run to and just get along with God. Let me ask you, do your children hear you pray? Do you pray with them? Do you pray for them? Do you ask others to intercede and pray for them? Husbands, are you the spiritual leader of your home? Well, if your wife or children ever hear you pray, that may be why your home has a lot of spiritual problems. So the Bible has a lot to say about prayer. We could go on and on and on. I could give you hundreds of scriptures this morning regarding prayer. I could spend the rest of this quarter talking about prayer. Just remember that prayer is our way of communicating and talking with an almighty God. So what kind of prayer life do you have? Can I just ask you to get in your spiritual closet every day? Every day. Start out by asking repentance and getting your heart clean. Go to 1 John 1:9 and take that spiritual bath. And then just start pouring your heart out to God. Every day. And then let your family know you pray and pray with them. So now let's get into our text, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." Paul had a serious concern and love for these Ephesians. He used the word faint, that means relax or grow feeble in a spiritual battle. Be weak. Paul was going through tribulations for them, for the church at Ephesus. He was literally in prison, in a Roman prison. But Paul was not whining. He was not complaining. He had no sad story to tell. He said, "Hey, I hope you don't get weak. Hope you don't faint at my tribulations for you." Can I just say that Paul was trying to tell them, "So look, I know a lot of you has your eyes on me. And I'm up here in the prison, they're about to cut my head off. But don't let that discourage you. Don't let that get you down. Don't let that stop you from serving the Lord. I'm here for your glory. Whatever happens to me, God is going to get the glory and it's going to be all right." Well, can I just back up and say that God's people do go through tribulations? Bad things do happen to God's people, but never without a purpose. His purpose is to mold us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul didn't want his tribulations to cause them to faint. And we need to remember that when God allows us to go through tribulations, others are watching. We don't want to cause them to faint. We should react like Paul. He pointed out that his tribulation was for their benefit. He made his problem a pulpit. God used prison to get Paul an audience with the people, even in the palace. There's no telling how many guards and people in the palace that got saved because of Paul being in prison. Well, I have scripture for that, Philippians 1, 12 through 14. But I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather than the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, talking about the palace, brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul saying, hey, these people up here in the king's palace that's got saved, and they're out there preaching and teaching and testifying about Jesus Christ. Paul wanted the Ephesians to remain steadfast. We should live a life that others would want to do the same. Paul prayed for them. He interceded for them. In verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Notice that Paul bowed his knees. Now this posture shows humility. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, of course, we don't have to bow on our knees to pray, but we do have to be humble. Paul understood his own inadequacy and totally relied on God. Paul addressed his prayer to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just back up here and say that the Trinity should be in our prayer? We should pray to the Father through the Spirit and in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should ask God to supply everything we need. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul prayed that God would strengthen them, not just out of God's riches, but according to God's riches. Paul had already given them insight into what kind of riches God gives. You remember, we studied it a few weeks ago. Flip a few pages back, Ephesians 1, 7 through 8. I'll remind you. Well, it's not 7 through 8, it's skipping around. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Thank God we have redemption and forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. And then over in Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In verse 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, it is grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So the Apostle Paul had a lot to say about the riches of Christ. And that we can get in on that. God measures success and strength a lot different than the world does. The world may measure it by success and maybe the strength by wealth and fame, money, cars, houses. But real success and strength is in the inner man. Paul didn't pray for God to make everyone financially rich. He asked that God would make them spiritually according to his riches. Chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, it's possible to be saved and yet not totally surrender to God. Because when you totally surrender your life to God, you will trust him to direct your paths. Rooted and grounded in love. We have too many Christians today that are not rooted and grounded. Do you ever wonder why? Well, maybe it's because they don't have that prayer life we talked about. Maybe they don't read their Bible every day. Maybe they don't come to church and get fed the spiritual food of God that he's prepared for them. Some things, well, if they come when it's convenient, that ought to be enough. I mean, God knows I'm busy. Okay. Then you wonder why you don't get a prayer through. Don't fill their hearts with the thing of God, just like the root of a tree. If it doesn't get the right balance of water and sun, it's going to wither and die. Same way with a Christian. Verses 18 and 19. May be able to comprehend with all saints. Now we've did a study on that word saints a couple of weeks ago. And we said then and we'll say it again now, as not referring to these dead Catholic saints and idols that they've set up. When you see saints in the Word of God here, it's referring to all born-again believers. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul prayed for the Christians to have an ever-increasing relationship with Christ. Well, don't all say people know Jesus? Well, yeah, they do, or they wouldn't be saved. But do they know him intimately? The more we know him, the more we'll love him. And the more we love him, the more we want to serve him. If you've ever made a new friend, just try to remember when you've met that friend. I mean, at first things were a bit awkward. You just wanted to find out all you could about each other. Maybe your spouse, you just wanted to find out everything there was about them. Making memories, spending hours together, makes our love and friendship grow stronger. To know the love of Christ, his love passeth knowledge. We can never get to the bottom of it. We can never exhaust these verses. It's just too big. There's just too much there. So why should we grow spiritually? So that we can comprehend. You know, a lot of times we hear, but we don't comprehend. We don't understand. And if we don't really understand it, it's going to be very hard to apply it. Well, have you heard someone say that they can't understand the Bible? Well, if they would get grounded and rooted, the Holy Spirit would teach them the Word of God. Well, let's look at this in this verse. It says breath. The word breath here means width. So can you imagine just how wide is the love of Christ? What can I say? His arms will reach around the world. And there's no end to his love. And then he says the length. Just how long is the love of Christ? Well, it begins with the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world and proceeds to eternity. I say that's a long time. And then how about the depth of his love? How deep is the love of Christ? Or can I just say it goes all the way to the cross, where he stretched out his arms and allowed them to crucify him because of his deep love for you and me. And then it says height. How high is the love of Christ? Well, can I just say that his love reaches all the way from this earth to the throne room of heaven? I would say that's pretty high. Even below the earth, it says he even went down into the pits of hell and got him out. Went down into the pits of the earth. All the way to heaven. And then it passes all human knowledge. Only the Holy Spirit can lead a believer into the experience of the love of Christ. We could never figure it out. Some people are not saved today because they just can't figure it out. Well, they need to quit figuring. Just throw up the white flag of surrender and say, here am I, Lord, a sinner that needs to be saved. Repent of my sins and save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Since it surpasses human knowledge, we can only get it from a knowledge of his living word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why it's so important to have a daily Bible study and a daily prayer life. We need to make memories with God daily. Read, meditate on the Word. Think about it during the day and the night and pray and talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It says exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. An effectual prayer life has its source in believing in God's ability to answer that prayer. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. Why wouldn't you want to go to God in prayer if you, he ain't gonna hear me. Only he can, and therefore he alone should receive the glory. And it's hard to find a more descriptive verse of God's power. The human race has suffered a power shortage. This world can't bring world peace or even solve our security problems. But God is able. God is able to bring a sinner to repentance. He's able to bring a drunk to be a preacher. He's able to bring a deadbeat dad to be a loving father. He's able to be exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask or even think. Can I just tell you this morning that he's able to answer your prayer even beyond your wildest imagination? Our problem is not that we ask too much. Our problem is we ask too little. We can have power working in us when we become partakers of the Son. We also become partakers of the power. The blessings and power are in Christ, and he is in us. Do we give him the glory for what he's done in our lives? Do we only get God out of the box when we need him and then put him back? And then when God does answer prayers, do we give him the praise? Do we thank him? Even if he says no. Jesus even prayed for us. Luke 22, 31 and 32, when the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. This is Jesus talking. For I have prayed for thee. Jesus had prayed for Simon Peter, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, Satan's going to trip you up. He's going to throw you for a loop. You're even going to get to the point that you want to go back fishing. You want to curse God. You want to turn your back on it. Peter, he's going to sift you. He's going to put you in his grinder. But Peter, I'm praying for you, says Jesus, that your faith won't fail. And then, Peter, when he gets through with you, you pick yourself back up, dust yourself back off, get converted, come back to me and ask for forgiveness, get your heart right, then I'm going to use you in a mighty way to strengthen the brethren. Paul prayed for us. He said, the saints. You saved this morning? He prayed for you. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for all of his children. Well, shouldn't we be praying for ourselves and for each other? I'm going to end our lesson this morning with a verse I've already read. I'm going to come back to it. That great prophet in the Old Testament named Jeremiah. In chapter 33:3, he says, call unto me. This is God talking to Jeremiah, talking to us today. Call unto me. That means pray. That's how we call on God. We pray. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That concludes our lesson this morning. I hope that this lesson will encourage you to have a better prayer life. Back to the title of our lesson, Praying for Others in Christ. Can I ask you to pray for me? I need all the prayer I can get. Pray for me as I teach these Sunday school lessons. I long for the day that we can be back in our Sunday school class and I can see smiling faces and see people just absorbing like a sponge the Word of God and getting help. Well, I hope you're getting help through this media, but I would sure love to get us all back together. Let's pray for that. And let's pray that for our pastor, our church. Pray the Lord give our pastor wisdom. He has some very difficult decisions to make in these days. He's trying to keep the church safe, the people safe. And yet he's also following the Lord. And he wants to see us all in church. He wants us to go back to Sunday school. He wants the choir to sing. He wants the vans to run again. He wants the nursing home ministry to start back. Well, let's just all join in together and pray that we can restart the ministries here at Morningstar Baptist Church. Pray for these that are sick, tested positive or has the virus. There are several even preachers in our area. And I pray for these members that are still in the parking lot during the service that doesn't feel safe to come in and be around crowds. And I can fully understand that as well. Back to our title of our lesson, let's pray for others. Let's pray for each other. I love you. God bless you. Amen.